kind of stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit tonight. So if there's a mistake or something happens, you'll know why, but it can easily be fixed, hopefully. With technology, I've taken the leap, and I want to use the download the app on my phone where I can advance my own slides. And I was really excited about that until somebody came up to me a few minutes ago and says, well, you're going to lose control if you go really slow or not as fast as we'd like for you to. We'll take over and we'll advance those for you. So might be a little tension as time wears on, but it'll all work out. Tonight, as you can see, how to repent of your sins is what we're going to spend a few minutes talking about, just repenting. And I appreciate Brother Jimmy reading that. Repentance. This summer, Ellie, she started pursuing her permit so she can drive a car. Well, about the same time, I started pursuing my permit to drive a school bus and a dump truck. So we were studying, not really at the same time or together, but she was going through the process, I was going through the process, and she gave me a hard time about it because when she went to take her test, she passed it the first time. I, on the other hand, did not. I became really, really good friends with the security boys in the courthouse, and I went there a lot. I mean, some of those guys are now Facebook friends. I see them out in town. I went there a lot because I could not pass some of the exams I had, but I eventually got it. But during our time, Ellie and I had to study a lot of road signs. And to me, when I see road signs, I see a lot of scripture. In my mind, that's how I relate it when I'm driving sometimes. And when I hear the word repentance, I think of turning around, a U-turn. You know, you're going to go back the way you're turning away from something ugly that you should not be a part of. And that's how, when I'm in a Bible study, it seems like more or less at the jail sometimes on Saturdays, that's how I explain repentance with a metaphor. I always say, look, think about it like a U-turn. It's you're turning around and you're not going to go there anymore. And so tonight, if I would get you to kind of think about, when we think about repentance, think about a U-turn. Excuse me. Tonight, and just as a, kind of the teacher in me, I want you to be able to take away some things. I don't want the lesson to be to end when you walk out tonight. And I've shared with Jeremy, I've tried to incorporate tons and tons of scripture, book, chapter, and verse. But I purposely bolded the ones that we're going to try to read tonight. So you may see a lot on the screen, but the ones that are in bold are the ones that we're going to try to read as we move on. But as Brother Lowe already read Luke 13:3 about repentance, and I'd like to read a couple of these others and see what Scripture says about repentance. Luke 24:46-47 says, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" Now, we're also familiar with Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" What's the pattern you're seeing here? Repentance, turning away, make a change. Acts 17:30, as Paul stood before the intellectual elite, the power brokers, you might say, as he stood before the Stoic philosophers and the Epicureans, he stood before them and he encouraged and urged them to repent. Acts 17:30 says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." We see that the need for repentance is clearly stated. And there are more scriptures that brings out the idea and the concept and the fact and the truth to repent. But these are just a few. But it's clearly stated. And we're all, I would say tonight, if we could pass out, if everybody got a 5x7 index card, and I were to ask you to write the plan of salvation, I would say I feel confident that most everybody here could get pretty close, pretty accurate, because you value the truth, you strive, you obey the gospel, most everybody here has. And we're all familiar with hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17. We're all familiar with believing, Hebrews 11:6. We're going to come back to repentance. I'm not skipping that. We're going to come back to it. confessing Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 33, being baptized for what? For the remission of sins, and remaining faithful, Revelation 2:10. And as I think about, as I prepared for this lesson this week, one of the things that motivated me is somebody here that I really love and respect and is super supportive. We were in conversation about Bible studies within the jail setting. And he said, just curious, you know, how do you cover sin and repentance in those Bible studies? And we're going to get into that just in a few minutes, but I explained that we always go back and take a look at what sin is. We try to, I emphasize when I have an opportunity, everything that is what by Scripture defines as sin, the need for repentance. And so I feel like with hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and remain faithful, all of those are some of them are tangible, easy concepts, but it seems like repentance sometimes maybe is what most people wonder, well, what does that look like? What does it mean to repent? Why should I repent? And that's where we're going to spend a little time tonight. G.E. Watkins, he quotes a scholar named Thayer, and he says, repentance is, from beginning to end, a mental process. It is literally a change of mind. To change one's mind for the better, hardly to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins, is what Mr. Thayer says. That it's, you're changing the way you think, you're going to change the way you behave, is what repentance is in its basic form. Well, what is sin? Many times that we talk about repentance, we study with people, and we get those commitments, that, yes, I want to be baptized. Okay, we can do that. We want you to remain faithful. But let's go back, what are you repenting from? Why are you being baptized? For the remission of sins. Okay, I get that. But what is sin? Let's take a look at sin. Galatians chapter 5, beginning verse 16 through 21. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we've covered a lot. And this, that one section of Scripture of what is sin. I want to point you back to the word practice in Galatians chapter 5 near the end, verse 21, practice. When I think of practice, I think of two professions. I think of a medical practice. I think of a law practice. This weekend, or last weekend, got to spend a little time with two of my favorite people, Lonnie Jones and Ben Hayes. They both are ministers, but they're also are licensed practicing counselors. And when you talk to them, they always talk about they have a small practice. They're always practicing their craft, their profession. And you get the idea that practice is something that becomes a part of you. It's what you do every day. When sin is practiced, when all those things are practiced, when it's intentional and it's repeated, then we're not walking in the Spirit. That calls for a need of repentance. That calls for a need of turning back. But let's not stop there. If you go, what is sin? If you go to Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars should have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's pretty strong language. And to be honest with you, with those two sections of Scripture, I get a little bit of butterflies. I don't feel comfortable with some of those words coming out of my mouth in front of you in public, because that's the impact of sin that it has on you. That if it doesn't impact you, if it doesn't concern you, then there's a greater problem. But if you are disturbed by these words, by these acts, by these practices, then that reminds us for the need to focus on repentance. It's something that we should not want to be a part of, not want to practice. After we've looked at repentance and sin, what does repentance look like? Well, actions and words should what? They should match. If we have obeyed the gospel, we have repented of our sins, then our actions and our words should match. They should go hand in hand. how to repent of sins. Well, step one, be aware. When I hear the word be aware, I think of looking in the mirror. Now, as you can tell, I've been really busy. I haven't had a chance to go to the barber shop for a while. And I try to have some awareness about myself. I try to look in the mirror and go, man, I need to, or one of the kids or Amy go, look, come here. You know, and they'll have some water or a big can of something to spray. And that didn't happen today. But it's called awareness, that you are aware of what's going on before you take another move, make another move, take another step. Same thing with sin. How can we be aware of sin in our life? Well, look at Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. We become, sin does what? Separates us from God. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Our sins will prevent God from hearing us. God will hide his face from us. We are separated from God. When we realize this, this should create enough awareness in us that, hey, I need to make a change. We've talked about Acts 17, 30 and 31. Acts 2:37 contains probably the greatest question that could ever be asked. Men and brethren, what shall we do? When Peter was preaching that first sermon to that crowd who was part of the, I would call the cheerleading group to those who were crucifying Christ, when his message pricked their heart and they realized they needed to make a change, they asked that question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And we got the answer we read in Acts 2:38. What about, you go to 2 Corinthians 7:10. As you turn, when we have awareness and we realize that I need to make a change, many times we become brokenhearted when we realize the people that we've hurt, we realize that the damage that we've done to our relationship with God. I've asked the question over the years with kids I work with, you know, are you sorry? Or are you sorry you got caught? Big difference with both. If we are truly sorry about the sin in our life, we are brokenhearted. We want to make a change. We are really sorrowful. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. First part of verse 10, for godly sorrow produces repentance. God, when I think of sorrow, I think of sadness, I think of weeping, I think of crying, I think of brokenheartedness. How to repent of sins? What road? Think about the road. I referenced, you know, getting a permit, getting a license. And I try to think about the metaphor of roads in life. And you think about the average person, experts say, makes 800 to 1,000 decisions per day. And I think it's probably a little more than that. And you think about, we have so many decisions each and every minute to do the right thing or do the wrong thing. We have a choice, is the point. And I'm all, at work, I always, and even at home, they can tell you, I always say choices have what? Consequences. And that's true for me, for all of us. And we repent of sins. You think about the road that we're on. What road do we want to be on? If you go to Psalm 119:11. As you turn, if God's word is hidden in our heart, if we are rooted, if we have repented, we have awareness, and we are growing closer and closer in our relationship, then we come to those forks in the road. Hopefully, we'll be able to make better decisions, that we will not commit sin so easily. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That when I go back to the previous slide, you think about driving straight and you look to the right and you think of the off-ramp, that might be an opportunity to sin. But yet, when we are a growing, thriving, studying, faithful Christian, then hopefully, as sin approaches us, we'll keep on driving. We won't turn right. We won't turn off, and we won't participate in what's being thrown at us. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. The word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That when we let God's word dwell in us richly, richly means that it's in every part of our life. I go back to being, the word practice. If we are a practicing Christian, then that means that we're participating in some type of personal devotional every day, some type of Bible study. Personally with me, I'm thankful I run out of hours, but I'm thankful that I get to teach a Wednesday night class and a Sunday morning class, because several times through the week, I'm going to be studying for a Wednesday night class or a Sunday morning class. What does that have to do with us and repentance? Well, it keeps God's word dwelling in my heart, that I'm trying to make that word more rich in my life, because I'm preparing for the next class. And I hopefully won't fall into the sin of the world that's coming our way. The end with 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 and 18. I've got 18, but I like to start with verse 17. That you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. If we are growing in Jesus Christ, then it's going to be easier for us to stay on a more straight road. It's going to be easier for us to have that awareness. When we repent, our repentance will truly last, if you will, that we will not turn back to the life in which we participated in before we obeyed the gospel. What about how to repent of sins? Think about the path. I'm going to share with you Acts 8:3. The apostle, Saul here, we have one extreme to the other. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. That we have a choice every day to do right or wrong. Saul was doing wrong, persecuting the church. That was the path that he was on. But you convert, or conversely, Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2:10 does not tell us to be perfect. Revelation 2:10 tells us to be faithful, that we will receive the crown of life. That when we're on that path, we know that we're dealing with everything from peer pressure, from social media, to all the trappings of life with our path as we travel down through the road of life. But if we are faithful, we will be given that crown of life. If we are faithful, we are more likely to withstand those blows, those darts that are being thrown towards us. What about how to repent of sins? Evidence. What's the evidence? You can say, yes, I obeyed the gospel. Yes, I participated or I was baptized for the remission of sins. But what about over the long haul? What are the evidence that demonstrates repentance? Go to Matthew 3:8. Evidence of repentance. Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. Go to James 2:18. And we'll do this one and make a few comments. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That we need to bear fruits worthy of repentance. That we need to be eager to serve, eager to grow. In Vacation Bible School, I'm in the Lord's army. I think that's the one of the verses. I think that's the name of the song. But when I hear that I'm in the Lord's army, I think about boots on the ground. I think about people in the trenches, doing the behind the scenes work. As Christians, that when we obey the gospel, we're willing to do anything and everything to help expand the borders of God's kingdom. That is an example of bearing fruit worthy of our repentance. Look at James 2:18. That one of the ways that we demonstrate our faith is not that we're trying to outwork everybody, but it also demonstrates that we're willing to serve. And as Paul says, imitate me, because he's imitating Christ. We think about how the opportunities that we have to show love to others, not just with money, but with making an investment in others, everything from Bible studies to concern to caring and just relationships. I've learned that some people are seeking Christians out because they just want somebody to talk to. They just want somebody to help them with the challenges in their life. And that's an opportunity for us to show the fruits of our repentance. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. When we obey the gospel, many times the challenges in our life as a result of sin have created some hardship which led to our obedience, led to our affliction. And we realize that yet when we have suffered, that drives us to obedience and it helps us to grow even more. Philippians 4:3, as Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What we know about Paul, we know a lot of things about Paul. Last two Wednesdays, we've spent some time on our Wednesday night class in the book of Acts, and we listed a lot of characteristics about Paul. We listed seven, I'd call them, seven virtues of Paul. But one that we didn't list, but as I prepared this week and I thought about Philippians 4:3, Paul was a worker. Paul did not care to get his hands dirty. He did not care to stay up late, get up early, and do what it took to expand the borders of God's kingdom. And he highlighted and he recognized those who did the same thing. When we have repented, when we have truly repented, then we're willing to do what's asked of us. We don't care who gets the credit. We're willing to be those boots on the ground. And I ask you tonight, what course are you on? We've spent a fair amount of time talking about the metaphor of roads, the metaphor of road signs. We've spent a few minutes talking about the road that you're traveling. We know that the path that we're on is important. Hopefully we're on the right path. I always share that we can't change what's happened, but we can change what happens next if we're willing to give our life to Christ. And I ask you, did you repent? Can it be seen? Before you think about those questions, I'd like to share something with you here at South Green. Occasionally we get, South Green gets letters, gets notes from people. Mainly from our jail ministry. Sometimes they're addressed to me. Sometimes they're addressed to other people. Sometimes they're just addressed to the church. And for privacy purposes, I'll just share just a few general statements from this one letter. He says, I'm in the Barron County Jail, and I'm looking at a lot of time. He says, I was raised in a church, a neighboring community, but I never really gave it 100% and want to do so now. Now, he's requested a Bible and some other things. We're trying to find a way to study with him. But the key thing that sticks out to me is he says, I never really gave it 100%, and I want to do so now. And I think about, as we offer the invitation in a few minutes, when it comes to repentance, maybe you repented, but you haven't, after that, you haven't given it 100% after you obeyed the gospel and you came for a little while, participated for a little while, or maybe that you've never obeyed the gospel at all and you're ready to give 100% for the church, and you're also ready to give 100% in relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight, there's no better time than for you to give your life to Christ. There's no better time for you to consider the plan of salvation. As we go back, as I share on Saturday morning sometimes, I always tell the folks in our classes, I always tell them that I never, ever want to leave. And you wonder, what is it? What should I do to be saved? How do I become a Christian? And that's the challenge I leave with you tonight. You've heard the Word of God. You believe. We've talked about repentance. You'll confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. And through personal choice, through prayer, through the help of the church, you can remain faithful. And I challenge you tonight to think closely about repentance. Think closely about renewing your relationship with Christ. Or think closely about beginning your relationship with Christ as we stand and sing.